Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to hello. How are you doing, Mr.
Paul
Lamar
great.
Hunter? Yeah, you were a little late coming in, so I wasn't certain, so I just picked the theme song. Let me introduce you. All right, everyone, on Show Talk with Angela Butler is Paul Lamar Hunter. Paul Lamar Hunter is the child, 19th child of Miss Louise Hunter. And James, well, he is the child of James Sr. and Louise Hunter, and he's the 19th child of 19 natural-born children. How are you, Mr. Hunter?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Now, you come from a family of 21, am I correct?
Yes, my mother actually had 21 natural children. There is 17 living today, 63 grandchildren, and 61 great-grandchildren.
So are you a father also now?
Yes, I am a father of four. I have two beautiful daughters and two sons. My two daughters, one is 21, the other is 18, and I have a son that's 16 and another son that's 9 years old.
Okay, all right. So I guess the greatest thing for you is being a father and leading a good example by your life and your college choices and things like that.
Yes, it is. I have to be a good example for my children.
Yes, good influence and example. That's wonderful. That's great. So, what was it like being the 19th child? I mean, I've read your bio and it said that there was as many as 17 siblings in the house at one time. What was that like?
Oh, it was chaos at times, you know, like little kids running around the house, snotty little noses, being rude and you know how kids are, being rude around the house, playing games with your siblings, and also there was arguments and you know, fighting around the house, but you know, everything was okay. You know, it just was a normal, typical Hunter family.
Okay, all right, normal family. Okay, so do you know all of your nieces and nephews by name or not?
I know all my nieces and nephews by name, but when it comes to the great grandchildren, I do not, you know, because I don't see them that often.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense. People scatter families sometimes. Uh-huh. Some move to the States, some move there, move there. I understand that. So you've been in Ebony Magazine, and I read the article.
Yes.
Okay, yes. And you've did a lot of wonderful things with your life, but the most important thing to me is that you have a Bachelor's of Science degree in Business Administration. You also have an Associate degree in Supervisory Management from Gateway Technical College.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
So that must have took some type of determination.
Yes, it did. It took a lot of determination, and also it took a lot of focus. And I was focused, I was determined to accomplish something in the Hunter family that had never happened before. And so receiving a bachelor's degree in business administration, it was a blessing. And so I laid the foundation in the Hunter family that education is important by becoming the first child out of 21 natural children to graduate from college.
Okay, that's wonderful. So you are inspiration.
Thank you.
Not just your family, but to everybody else. You know, young people these days, even some adults, say, "Well, I can't do this. I won't do this. I won't do this type of work. I won't try hard." But they have no excuse now, do they?
No, they
Isn't
do
that,
not. What?
Yeah.
What? No, they shouldn't have to use any excuses. The most important thing that people have to do is, one, they have to change their behaviors, and two, they have to surround themselves with positive men and women, and three, they have to stay hungry to learn. So if they do those three elements, they can become successful in life, just like I am. I consider myself a very successful man.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. So what do you tell your children about your family?
Say that question again.
How do you talk to your children about the family?
My four children, I always tell them that if they want to be successful in life is to go out and pursue an education. And so I really believe that education lays the foundation in a person's life. It will help them out in a tremendous way, because once you have it, you know, it cannot be taken away whatsoever. And it really does open up doors for a person that has education.
Yes, I believe that. I do not have a college degree, so I've been thinking about going to a neighboring town to a college there, 2-year college. Well, it's 4-year too in some subjects, some majors. So you've been on Ebony Magazine, Amps Magazine, Austin Fit Magazine, and the National Examiner. You also have a book which is entitled No Love, No Charity, The Success of the 19 Child. So what made you write this book?
Well, I wanted to write a book that will penetrate the lives of men and women inside America and abroad. I wanted to share my experience growing up in a dysfunctional family, my experience with my father, my experience with my mother, and also with my siblings. I just wanted to share something that will impact people's lives to say, you know what, this guy has been through a lot of adversity, a lot of trials and tribulations, but he never made any excuse. He ended up persevering in life. And I wanted to really get people, you know, pumped up and say, you know what, there is no excuses. Let me go out here and achieve what I want to achieve in life.
Yeah, you're right. Now, the book you wrote is good. It's a really great book, and I encourage people to go out and buy No Love, No Charity, Says to the 19 Child. I just want everyone to know that this book can be found on Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.com, The Nook, eBooks, The Kindle Fire, and iTunes. And Mr. Paul Hunter is available for interviews. I'm not going to give out his phone number, but I'm going to give out his email address. It's P, as in Paul, L-H, 190, OF21, at gmail.com. And like I said, I was telling you where his book can be found at and bought. So did either one of your parents have a mental illness?
I really can't say, but if you read the book and you would take away from that, it had to be some problems that my mom was going through and early on in her life, because she wasn't a promoter of education. You know, that's my mom. I love my mom, but I'm not throwing her underneath the bus or over the bridge. But parents do make mistakes. You know, parents are not perfect whatsoever. So my mom is a product of her environment. She's 80 years old today. She's still active today. But I think that, you know, coming out of that, growing up in the Jim Crow system, and that's in Mississippi, that they had endured a lot. And I think it affected their behavior and their beliefs. Yeah. And so if you see your mom putting you down when you have children, you're going to think it's okay to put your child down. You will think that is the norm, but in reality, it's abnormal.
Yes, I have relatives. A lot of them are dead now, but I was taught about Jim Crow. More just in history books. Jim Crow was hell. I'm just going to tell you what they told me. It was living hell in the South. Excuse me for my cuss words. But I can tell you that much. About 5 years ago, maybe four, I had a cousin. He was my second cousin, and he was lynched in a jail in Alabama.
Oh, sorry to hear about that.
It wasn't Mississippi, but I do have relatives in Mississippi. No joke there. Mm. Really isn't.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to write the book, No Love, No Charity, Just Success of the 19 Child?
Well, it took me about 2.5 years to write the book. And like I indicated, my book is a parenting book. Also, it's an inspirational book that can assist men and women that's having children today.
Yes.
It would really help them out, because this book would tell men and women or parents that you might be a parent, but you are designed to age your children, to make sure that you build them up and not tear them down.
Yes.
So it's a helpful book. It's a helpful book. That's why I call it No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19 Child. And like you indicated, the book is available at Barnes & Noble's website, also Amazon.com. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on the Nook. You can have it on the Kindle Fire as well. It's a very good book. That's why I'm asking people that are listening to this interview to go out and purchase the book. This book is a good book. And if you are a parent, you need to get this book.
Yes. Okay. So have your nieces, nephews, grandchildren, or anyone in your family at all decided to go back to college because of you?
Well,
have you influenced
they
them?
They had took the initiative to go back and get their degree, in which is great, because like I said earlier, someone has to lay the foundation that education is important. And there's nothing about going back to school later on in life, because you learn in this process and also in this world that it is not how you start, it's how you finish. There has been great men and women that started the race And when they started the race, they was behind. That's okay. But at the end of the race, guess what? They completed it. So it's not how you start. It's how you finish.
Yes. Yes, you are right about that. Very right about that. So did you lose your father at an early age, Mr. James Senior Hunter?
Yes, my father passed away when I was 8 years old. He was going to Fayetteville, Mississippi, to visit his mom. He made it there to visit his mom, and his mom had requested him to stay in that particular night. He wanted to go out and meet up with some of his cousins and family members and friends. And so he ended up going out and got in a car accident, and he passed away.
So,
and it was hard. It was hard growing up, you know, without my father. You know, it was very difficult because my father was the breadwinner in the family. And so when a father is absent from the home, it puts a lot of tremendous pressure on the kids. And I used to see other kids in the neighborhood interacting with their father, playing football, basketball, you know, doing homework. And I envy that because my father was absent from my life. He died. And I envy that. So when I started to have children, I always wanted to be a part of my kids' life. So I did whatever I can to be a part of my kids' life. You know, I taught them how to read, taught them how to write, did homework with them. I was my kids' basketball coach, football coach, baseball coach. So I was active in my children's lives.
Yes. Yes, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. More men should be like you. I'm sure they are, though. I'm sure they are. Now, this is straying a little bit from the topic because this show is about you. But I just have to ask this. What do you feel about what you've been seeing on TV about the killings? Most people tell me that it's always went on that, but when I try to talk about it, you know, well, that's always went on. The killings and things with the police. And it hasn't ever stopped. Some people tell me it's not going to stop till God returns. But how do you feel about that? What do you tell yourself?
Are you referring to the Ferguson shooting or the police shooting?
Yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir.
Well, this is the way I feel about it. In the Ferguson case, I think that Mr. Wilson got away with murder. The Department of Justice had came with some evidence that indicated that the police department and also the chief of police and members that's in law enforcement was racist toward African Americans. So the way I feel is that police officers are going to protect each other, and Mr. Wilson, he was protected by his buddies. So that's the reason why he got away with a homicide. So I feel that justice was not served. You know, we're in a new age right now, and so the young people that are out there protesting now against police shooting unarmed African American men, they are seeing what really happened in the 50s and then also in the 40s and in the 60s.
Yes, sir. 60s. That's what my mother
they
said.
Seeing that they are seeing that right now. And that this young generation are not taking it. They are saying this young generation, meaning young Hispanic, young blacks, young whites, young people of all nationalities are not going to take this because they interact with black men and Hispanic men and Hispanic women and African American women. They interact with them in the classroom, and they just as much as talented as them. And they said, "Hold up, these are my friends. You can't be killing off my friend." Have you ever known in history, with all these shootings going on, that a black cop goes out and shoot an unarmed white man?
It
would not happen. It would not happen. But I tell you what, if it does happen, you will see a lot of the laws change dramatically. For example, with the George Zimmerman case, how he shot Trayvon Martin.
Yes, here
stand in Florida. Stand your ground. Stand your ground.
Yes.
There's, you know, you stand your ground. Okay, stand your ground. But you shoot an unarmed African-American man. For what? When you were warned three times to stay in your vehicle.
Yes.
You know, this guy wants to be the neighborhood police officer. So he also got away with it. But, you know, back to the case of police officer shooting and choking unarmed black man that poses no threat to them, it's fear. That's what it is. It's fear. It's fear.
It's fear.
Because if you shoot a person, I have friends that are cops. If you shoot a person in their leg, all right, you can take advantage of them. Because once they hit, they're going to go down. So you can take advantage of them.
Yes.
But these officers are shooting to kill. And
they are.
You know, they are killing young, innocent men of color.
Yes, they are. They are. You're right. There's nothing, there's no lie in anything you say. It's the truth. They're killing. Some people call it genocide. Some people say it's always been. Just that social media, the internet, or whatever you want to call it, is putting it out there more. But regardless of the reason, it's wrong. I mean,
yes, it is.
It's to kill an unarmed person. It really is. I feel like the stand your ground law should be changed because, for one thing, you can only use it as a defense. You can only use it if the person is dead. There's a lady called Miss Marissa Alexandra. She's known worldwide for what they did to her. She shot up in the air into a wall, and I feel like they punished her for not killing. That's the way I see things.
See, you got to understand this. I am familiar with the case. These cases does not benefit people of color. It was designed to benefit Caucasian people, white people, not African Americans, not Hispanics, not people of color. These laws were designed to assist white people because they look at people of color as a threat. Why should I be a threat? And I don't have a gun. I don't have any weapons on me whatsoever. I'm not a threat. I'm not a criminal. So
yes,
I'm not a threat, but they look at and what they read in the media, and the media has a lot to do with it. They would take a crime of a black person and they would just disperse it all around the world about what this black person had did. And that picture, that image that they sent out paints a picture of all people of color.
Yes, it does. Because
so they are afraid to approach
us. Very narrow-minded, and closed-minded. But I happen to know that black American people, African American people, I happen to know some very, including you, very intelligent black American people, African American, highly intelligent, very creative, very talented, but they're being oppressed. I mean, every which way. It's like even where I live at, there's a ceiling. Even the richest black who I live in, which is a small area, it's only got 3 or 4 traffic lights. You can only go so far here. Mm-hmm. Even the richest of the blacks know it. If you're not an entrepreneur and have rental property, here it's hard to get a loan here, even with the best of credit. I can tell you that right now. Even with the best credit, it's very hard to get a loan. So, you know, there's other types of discrimination, not just killing. It's a lot of things. But killing is the worst to me. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the loan thing is no joke. That lynching I was talking about, my relative, my cousin, is true. And it was it's been 4 or 5 years, but I don't forget. I try to forget, you know, because it can get scary sometimes. But I just rely on God, you know. So back to you. Sorry to take up so much time away from you. So do you ever have family reunions, you and your family?
Yes, the last time we had one was like 5 years ago that we had one. Everybody came together for the first time, and it was great. It was an exciting moment in the Hunter family to see nieces and nephews and relatives that you haven't seen in years, you know, and have a conversation with them and talk about, you know, the South, because my mom, she grew up in Vicksburg, Mississippi, and my father, he grew up in Fayetteville, Mississippi, not too far from each other. So it was great to see a lot of old friends and relatives.
Yeah. Well, James Meredith is my cousin. He might not know it, but I'm his cousin. My grandmother was his cousin, too, his first cousin, if I'm not mistaken. My grandmother's dead, of course, and so is my granddaddy. My grandmother's was from Alabama. So
okay.
I know a whole lot. We just recently had like our second family reunion on my grandma's side. So I understand that family reunion stuff. Understand it real well. Now my granddad's side of the family, they have one every year. So, you know. It's good to see each other, you know, at that time. So I have a question. What's next for you, Mr. Paul Lamar Hunter? Because we're the same age. Because I'm looking at your bio. So what's next? Is most of your family still in Wisconsin?
No, my family are spread out. My siblings are spread out. Memphis, Tennessee. I have some in Wisconsin, Minnesota, Las Vegas, Ohio, Pittsburgh. California, Los Angeles, California, Atlanta, Georgia. So we're spread out. But what's next for Paul Lamar Hunter I want to be a guest on the Oprah show. I want to get an invitation to the White House from Barack Obama. Also, I want to do a lot of daytime and nighttime talk shows and talk about my life and try to reach young men and young women to go to the next level, because I know they can go to the next level. And one message that I would say to them, if you want to go to the next level, surround yourself with intelligent men and women. And so also I would like to see a movie done on my life based off the book, No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19 Child. I would like to see that. Also, I like to do some commercials. So, you know, I'm trying to go to the next level, but I'm going to continue to push it and stay positive that, you know, God would open up doors for me.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope he does, too. I pray he does, as a matter of fact. Couldn't happen to a better person. But you're already a success, though. You do know that. And an inspiration.
Yes.
People say, I can't do this. This is too hard.
Yes, yes. And that's why I need... That's why I need people to go out and get the book, No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child. That book is available at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon.com.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So got about a minute, a little over a minute. So is there anything else you'd like to say? Oh, and your mother. You said she's still going strong, and I applaud her for that. Because I'm a female. So, you know, she definitely has God with her. She's doing something right live to be 80. So what would you like to say, Mr. Hunter?
Well, I'd like to say to young men and young women that's out there, keep in mind that you might be going through some adversity in your life, and the storm will not last forever. Everything must end. So your storm will end. Remain positive. Stay hungry to learn. Surround yourself with positive men and women. And always remember, it's not how you start, it is how you finish. If anyone would like for me to come out and speak, please visit my website at paullamarhunter.com. My website is www.paullamarhunter.com. And also pick up a copy of my book at Barnes & Noble's or Amazon.com, No Love, No Charity, The Success Story of the 19th Child by Paul Lamar Hunter. Thank you, and God bless.
All right, thank you. God bless you, and thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. Keep thriving.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Bye.